The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, Static Fire Test. Bob, what is a static fire test to achieve? Boca Chica, SpaceX, boom. What was the intention?
All right, so the heart of the story is that there was an explosion, a major explosion, destroyed the next Starship prototype that was going to launch on the 10th Starship Super Heavy test flight, orbital test flight. And it went boom. They were fueling Starship on the test stand for the purpose of doing a static fire test. This is where they do this routinely with all their rockets prior to launch. They fuel it up as if they're doing a real countdown. They count down to zero, and then they fire the engines for a period of a few seconds. Depends on the length, depends on the rocket, depends on the situation, but for a few seconds to make sure everything's functioning right. It's like a dress rehearsal. And so they did this. They were loading up Starship. This is the 34th prototype, I think. But it's their version 2 of this, which has had problems. And they were loading the fuel. They hadn't fired their engines at all. It was just sitting there getting fueled when suddenly it went boom. And I've got a picture, as well as I've embedded the video of this event on Behind the Black. The picture was a screen capture just as the explosion was beginning to expand from Starship. So we know it occurred in the Starship near the top, but we don't know anything more than that at this point. They have not announced any investigation results yet. It's kind of early. The significance of this is SpaceX has got plenty of Starship prototypes in their assembly building ready to go, so that's not a problem. They have ships ready to fly. They have to find out why this happened, obviously, and maybe institute fixes. But more significant is the explosion did significant damage to that test stand. And that's what they used to do Starship static fire tests prior to launch. So they not only have to figure out what went wrong, but before they can do another launch, they've got to get that static fire test stand fixed, repaired, put back together prior to actually launching their next rocket. So there's going to be a delay before the next launch occurs, John.
My Starlink's a hit, Bob. Three more countries. Where?
Oh, this is Starlink keeps expanding everywhere. So, yes, SpaceX has now signed agreements has gotten full license approval in India. It has also gotten license approval to start selling the Starlink to the African country of Guinea, Bissau. And it is also now initiated in the Ukraine phone-to-satellite texting service. This is the capability whereby if you've got a smartphone and then you're in a dead spot, the satellite picks up the Starlink satellite picks up the signal for you and acts like a cell tower. They're only initially doing tests now with texting service using this, and that's including the United States with T-Mobile, but now they're going to do it in the Ukraine as well, John. So yes, this keeps spreading. More revenue for Starlink, which is more money to go into Starship and Super Heavy development.
Connecting it to the disappointment and the delay in launching the Kuiper, that was a hardware problem, as I recall.
What, for the Kuiper constellation?
Yeah.
No, that was a management problem. They just are very super-duper slow. Starlink, SpaceX was originally hired a bunch of people to develop Starlink. Elon Musk fired them because they were operating too slowly. Amazon hired them to build Kuiper. So while SpaceX launches like 5,000 satellites, Kuiper has been sitting, not getting anything accomplished because those people work too slow. And so that's the reason it's not competing well, John.
Honda getting in the rocket business. I missed this. When is this new?
No, but it was a shock to me because Honda had kept so quiet. Back in 21, Honda had announced a project that it was going to build a prototype vertical takeoff and landing hopper, a grasshopper, to do tests with the goal of eventually building an orbital rocket that was reusable. They announced this in 21. But they, at that point, went totally stealth mode, silent, and we did not hear a thing from them until this week when they announced and released video of a successful hop of this prototype grasshopper rocket going up and coming back down. It was up for about a minute. It went up to about 900 feet and then came down and landed exactly where it was supposed to, just a few feet away, for just a foot or so away from where it was supposed to drop. And so that's a very successful test. They hope to have suborbital launches by 29. And they hope to have orbital flights soon thereafter. So they have entered the market here, John, and they've just been very quiet about it. I give them credit because they did have a success.
What is a hypersonic rocket, Bob? What does it do?
All right, hypersonic rockets, the concept behind them is they're using the oxygen in the atmosphere instead of having to bring their own oxygen in, kind of like a ramjet engine. But its ability to fly much faster than supersonic, and therefore you can't track it or bring it down very easily. This is what the military has been aiming for. And so another company, startup, called Up Aerospace, has entered the market by doing a test launch of a suborbital small rocket they call Spider. They've been in the business of doing suborbital launches for quite a while. This company, they're not new, but they recently did this upgraded, much larger Spider rocket, and they're offering it as a test bed for hypersonic test flying. And the military right now is looking at private companies to do these kind of tests because the government program for years didn't get much accomplished. And they right now have contracts with Strato Launch's Giant Rocket and Talon, a flight vehicle, with Rocket Lab's HASTE reconfiguration of its first stage of its Electron rocket, and using also Varda's orbital capsules on their return from space, all to test hypersonic flight and various equipment thereof. And so Up Aerospace has now joined the thing and is offering its suborbital flight. This is actually an example of how the military switches from the government model to the capitalism model. It suddenly gets a lot of companies innovating to come up with ways to do the testing and actually have the testing occurring, and it's a good thing.
The FCC, that's the Federal Communications Commission. That's Starlink territory, but it's been, over these years, untrustworthy. Is it shaping up?
It's an interesting policy shift that occurred between the Biden administration and the Trump administration. During the Biden administration, the FCC kept pushing to expand its empire and regulatory control into areas that were not included in statutory law. FCC was originally created to manage the limited wavelengths that are available for communications, to allocate them out so there wouldn't be conflicts, to make sure everything ran smoothly between different companies and different nations and different uses, such as FM and AM bands, those kind of things. And it involves satellites as well, because you have satellite constellations using frequencies. You've got to kind of divvy up where the frequency, who gets what frequency for what satellite. And now that's its only statutory requirements. That's what it's there for. That's its authority. But in the Biden administration, they were trying to do more. They were trying to tell satellite companies how to build their satellites, how to deorbit their satellites, how long their satellites could be in orbit. None of this is their statutory authority. It was actually illegal. Congress pushed back a bit. Trump becomes the president, and that's all been dropped. The FCC now is focusing entirely on its statutory authority to regulate the wavelengths, and it is making an aggressive effort to streamline its red tape. Isn't that interesting? It's trying to speed up the regulatory problems that exist and settle conflicts that have been outstanding for several years now in wavelength issues that under Biden were ignored. And so this is actually generally a good thing, because this is where the FCC is needed, and they should be focused on where it's needed instead of doing things it has no business doing.
So no more environmental impact statements at the FCC?
Well, this is not environmental impact. That's a different area of problem. This had to do with them telling satellite companies, you have to put in deorbit capabilities, and you have to plan to bring your satellites down by a certain time. They were getting into the construction of satellites. They don't have the capability to do that, and they shouldn't be.
Let's go to a satellite story that may or may not be threatening. two robotic servicing satellites in space by China. What to what end, Bob?
All right, China is aggressively trying to learn, increase its capabilities in orbit, and so in 21, it launched a robot servicing satellite that acted as a tug. It went up, it docked with a defunct geosynchronous communication satellite that China had launched previously, and it tugged it into a graveyard orbit. This satellite had no more fuel, it couldn't move itself, so they sent up a tug to do that. It docked and grabbed it and moved it. When it finished that, it was in orbit, but it apparently had used up its fuel. So this year, January, they launched a second one of these servicing satellites, and the two have been flying in formation. And it appears this second one is going up to test docking and refueling technology. That's what we think. And ground-based companies that observe satellites and objects in orbit, one of them released video showing them moving so close together that they became a single object. And we think they've docked. We don't know this. We think they docked once, separated, and then docked again. That's at least the theory. We're not sure. This is not confirmed, but it does appear that's their plan. And this is China just increasing its capabilities. You know, we have orbital tug companies. We have orbital junk removal companies that are developing right now these capabilities. And now China's just doing the same thing within its government.
Is this suspect as a weapon system?
Anything can be a weapon system, John. When you can maneuver it close to another satellite, it gives you, that's the first basic anti-satellite technology was basically move a satellite close to another one and then explode it, and the explosion damages the other satellite. That's been tested by Russia frequently and China. This could be the same kind of thing. Think of 007, you know, they send up something to grab a satellite and bring it back to Earth. Well, that conceivably, this could always be turned into that, yes.
What is PLD?
PLD is a Spanish rocket startup. They've done one suborbital test flight. They are planning to start launching an orbital rocket next year. They are one of the European private aerospace startups that are pushing hard. They have now signed a deal with the French space agency, CNES, that runs the French Guiana spaceport to establish their own launch pad at French Guiana. And this is a good deal. It suggests that France has backed off from its desire to have that launch pad standardized for all the private commercial companies that were going to use it. This was a bad idea. It appears they've now going to let PLD establish the launch pad as it wants to fit its rocket. And the other companies that want, commercial companies that want to launch in French Guiana, they'll have to set up their own systems as well. But they're getting ready to do hopefully their next launch. Their first launch by next year. We'll have to wait and see if that happens, but it does appear that they're moving forward quickly.
Is there any information about the union problem at French Guiana that held up an Ariane test once?
They signed a deal after a strike about, 5 years ago? They signed a deal, and it appears things have been quiet since then.
All right, I mentioned because Monaco in the game?
Well, it's an interesting story. A Monaco-based startup called Ventura Space this week unveiled its own proposed, entirely European-built lunar rover. They've dubbed it Mona Luna. And they're offering it to the European Space Agency as well as France's Space Agency as an option for a European lunar rover. Of course, Europe has to have a space program that can get to the moon to use such a thing, but they are doing the same thing. They say this outright. They're copying the American capitalism model. They're willing to commit some of their own capital to develop this, but they want to know if Europe wants to commit as well some money. And so that's where we stand. They're trying to get private enterprise going in Europe. And the PLD is another example of that. There's real signs they're switching from the government model, and this startup is another example of that.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bast.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.